In this edition of Flexible Elements, Per Jobourg talks with Dr. Chi-Han Yu of Harvard University about self-healing, self-directing robots that can work together independently to achieve tasks from IT Conversations. Hi, this is Phil Windley, the executive producer of IT Conversations. Today I'm excited to bring you another program from Flexible Elements with Per Jobourg.
The Conversations Network is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we need your help. For a tax-deductible donation of as little as $5 per month, you can support this channel and the rest of the Conversations Network. So please visit conversationsnetwork.org to become a member and help us continue to bring our programs to the world for free. Our audio files are delivered by Limelight Networks, the high-performance content delivery network for digital media.
And now, here's our program from Flexible Elements.
So welcome to the Flexibility Envelope. I'm here today with Chi-Han Yu from Harvard University. We're going to talk about his work with mechanical locomotion and artificial intelligence, where each module cooperates with the whole structure intelligently. Yeah, I understand that your point of origin in this is artificial intelligence.
Yes, exactly. My background is actually in AI, and then I'm really looking to distribute AI for that models the whole modular robot system as a bunch of independent agents to cooperate together and to achieve some interesting tasks. In particular, I'm very interested in how you can those modules can cope with uncertainties in environments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that the description of the environment doesn't have to be absolutely perfect. It can operate in more complicated environments.
Yes, that's always the motivation of our research, is one, to achieve a task at the same time to cope with uncertainties inside environments. I think that's also why AI is powerful in that aspect, because a lot of existing modular robot strategies rely on a pre-programmed controller, which cannot cope with uncertainties in environments.
And I mean, for the general listener, when we're talking about uncertainties, we're not talking about large uncertainties. The static system can have a hard time even with small variations, I guess. Yeah. So it's uncertainty on a mathematical level rather than the level that a general listener might be used to. Yeah. You use a lot the strut-based system and a fixed morphology, and then transform these by expanding and contracting different parts of the solution. Could you tell me about the physical structure and how then that builds on to different forms of solutions?
Yes, as you said that we are interested in a strut-based system. At the same time, we also have some chain-style systems. The main motivation of our research is to see how far we can push toward the deformation of a modular robot system rather than reconfigurations. And as many systems have proved that a reconfiguration process is actually very time-consuming. If we can push further in using the existing controller to let the structure to deform rather than reconfiguration, we can actually achieve the task more efficiently.
Yeah, so we would probably then, start with some unknown configuration. We would reconfigure it into something that is close to what we need, and then we will deform the structure.
Yes. And so toward this motivation, and then we found a lot of strut-based system that made out of a lot of linear modules connected together by some spherical modules, mm-hmm. actually can provide very large scale of deformation. So that's why we recently have been pushed into a total direction of strut-based systems.
Yeah. You have done them in 2D and you've also done them in 3D. Do you see any, where would you see us in time frame moving on to larger three-dimensional systems consisting of maybe hundreds of units or thousands of units?
That's a very good question. So recently, we actually pushed toward a much larger system in which we use a lot of micro linear modules. Mm-hmm. We just have a position paper on this. So, and the idea is that with a bunch of those modules together, we actually make a module about to form orthotics device for patients. Mm-hmm. And then we already have a knee device that's composed of many micro modules.
Yeah. This is also required because one of the main parts we want in a modular robotic solution is the redundancy and the self-healing. Yeah. And that means that each module must do a very small part, and we must also be able to add 110% capacity. So if one module breaks, we don't lose critical function and we can then replace it.
Yeah, I think so a lot of our control strategy we developed in my thesis or in our lab is really focused on the identical controllers for each module, mm-hmm. for every module. So in this case, even one module fail, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm. So both on the physical plane and on the controller plane.
Exactly, yeah. So
and this is transparently by the fact that it's an emergent, the whole structure has an emergent property in it. So
right.
Nobody has to do anything when the module fails, it just adapts dynamically. Huh?
Yeah. And like part of my thesis work is actually to develop a theoretical framework to prove that even we have some module failure, and then, for example, communication value or actuation value, and then the whole task still can be completed. So we actually also, on the other hand, we also push toward the theoretical understanding of a reasonable module robot system, which I think is very important and much less addressed in our community.
Yeah. I mean, the community is pretty young. There's so much exciting research
you
can go out and do. Yeah. What kind of size are we talking for the small unit that you're using now?
Our recent one, that each single module is roughly several centimeter, and with the thickness, it's really slim modules. It's like a thickness, I think, 0.2 centimeter.
Ah, okay. Yeah, it's a couple of millimeters.
We are still gearing toward the strap-based system, but it's much slim, much smaller.
Yeah, struts. Yeah. Because of course, the size of the unit depicts the resolution we can achieve
when
we interact with the environment.
Yeah.
These systems are also fixed morphology, I guess.
For currently, it's a fixed morphology, and we actually integrate. Kind of a very interesting system to offline learning what kind of morphology is bad, because we are really focusing on the orthotic device by module robots.
Yeah.
So we can, for example, we have one patient to come, and then for the patient to walk and see what's pathological gaze they have, and then they automatically compute the best morphology for them.
Yeah.
Okay, that's our very recent work, and then
But the fact that it is not self-reconfiguring or self-reorganizing, it's just because your research doesn't need it. It could naturally be this.
Yeah, I think our community is a lot of is exciting and interesting work in reconfiguration. Yeah. So I feel my contribution is pushed toward, after we get a fixed configuration, how can we do for configuration?
Because as we said before, we have to do it all in chain to exploit the benefits of all of them.
Yes, exactly.
So where do you see your research going? Where do you see the research in your lab going from now on? You're doing this prosthesis. Is there anything else interesting you'd like to tell us that's going on that we should be watching for in the near future?
Yes, actually, a lot of our control strategy for those module robots, we draw a lot of connection from biology, in particular cells or animal group behaviors. Mm-hmm. And so then we, based on these simple local interaction behavior of animal groups, then we develop a lot of controllers based on these. So, and we have analyzed thoroughly on these strategies. So in the future, I think in addition to module robots, I think a lot of theoretical tools we develop are very useful for understanding animal group behaviors.
Yeah, so what we learn from them and then they learn from us.
Exactly.
We don't have to reinvent the wheel and they understand better how the wheel works.
Yeah. In fact, we have a recent Amos paper is exactly help us to understand the nature and then to understand how, for example, a herd of animals, why they want to take on certain shapes.
So your module has shrunken from what I imagine to be a few decimeters to now a few centimeters.
Yes.
How do you see the scale of that? Because the scale is important for resolution.
Yes.
How do you see the scale progressing downwards to smaller modules?
I think in this year's conference, we have already have seen that some modules even smaller than 1 centimeter cubic, and I think given that the continued growing of micro robotics field, I think very soon we will have a lot of systems that can be shrunk into this very small scale. But one challenge that I do foresee is that how can we incorporate meaningful or useful sensor systems inside these small modules.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's actually the main challenge of the field, because now you have those modules, but they don't have sensor. So existing intelligent algorithm cannot really apply to this.
Because the intelligent algorithm needs input from LIDARs or sonar or something like that. And and some of the sensors might even be physically hard to shrink. Some of them might be hard to build electronically smaller, but some of them are cannot be small based on pure physics.
For example, but for example camera, we can shrink to a lot, but I'm not sure if we can catch up the speed of scaling down of modules and mm-hmm. actuations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is really interesting. I'll thank you for being part of the podcast, and we'll hope to hear from you again.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to a presentation from Flexible Elements with Per Jobork.
The Conversations Network is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we need your help. For a tax-deductible donation of as little as $5 per month, you can support this channel and the rest of the Conversations Network. So please visit conversationsnetwork.org to become a member and help us continue to bring our programs to the world for free. Our audio files are delivered by Limelight Networks, the high-performance content delivery network for digital media. The post-production audio engineer for this program was Rob Lepper. Our website editor was Cheryl Coe. The series producer is Joel Cherney.
This is Phil Wendley. I hope you'll join me next time for another great presentation from Flexible Elements with Per Jobork here on IT Conversations.